Hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a 5-Minute Friday. It is the spooky season. We are going to talk about spooky complications that can happen from filler, like lumps, bumps, and nodules. So this is such an important topic. If you're an injector, I'm hoping you're listening. If you're a patient, don't get scared. These are very, very, very rare, but it's one of the things that we look at, and we're trying to perfect and finesse what we do in aesthetics, and it's such an important topic. So I think the etiology and the cause of tissue nodules has been very puzzling and a difficult problem to solve for the last 10 years since the onset of use of hyaluronic gel fillers. Getting lumps, bumps, and nodules is an occurrence that happens rarely, but it's seen in practice. And if you're an experienced practitioner, you might have seen delayed long-term nodules surfacing after filler injections. And I just want all of us to have a little discourse, dialogue, and thinking process about what happens to get inflammatory nodules forming. So there was a consensus group that came together before COVID in 2019 in Australia. And because of COVID, it kind of stopped its project, but it recently geared up again under the supervision of Dr. Greg Goodman from Australia. And this project published a consensus statement with about 20 different top experts to try make sense of late tissue nodules. And this has recently been published in the Aesthetic Surgery Journal and was released online, but now it's also in print. So I definitely recommend you guys all get a hold of this article. If you're an injector, it's a must read. But this consensus meeting really dove deep into what nodules are, what forms them. And there are three main aspects of forming nodules. What causes a nodule? The filler itself, the patient's immune reaction to hyaluronic acid, or the possibility of coexisting infection or colonization of the filler. And to understand what causes hyaluronic gel fillers, you actually have to really look at the hyaluronic molecule itself. In our bodies, all endogenous inborn hyaluronic acid starts out as a high molecular weight product. And as it breaks down, it becomes low molecular weight. And this degradation happens day in and day out in the skin. The hyaluronidase species in our skin, the enzymes that live there, break down natural hyaluronic acid, and reactive oxygen species are created. These small fragments get endocytosed and broken up, and in the process, sometimes they become fuel for the fire of inflammation to trigger a nodule or a formation of a problem. You might have filler done. It might give you no problem at all. 6 months, 9 months later, you might develop a lump or a swelling, and that's called a delayed nodule. And so there's several pathways that your immune system kind of jumps into recognizing the hyaluronic acid as it's breaking down. And sometimes there's new research out there that suggests that these anti-inflammatory cytokines in conjunction with high molecular weight acid trigger this toll-like receptor that activates and begins degrading bound hyaluronic. I always think of hyaluronic gel filler as kind of a Hershey kiss shape, right? We inject a small bolus. The bolus stays like a round perfect pea for a little while. And then as it starts to melt and settle and smoothen, it gets like a Hershey's kiss kind of a shape and configuration. Then the degradation process occurs where the filler at its periphery starts to soften. Centrally, it's high molecular weight, Vicross, tightly linked sometimes, all kinds of filler. But that's the central core. It's kind of what it is in the syringe. At the periphery are the breakdown low molecular weight fragments that can trigger this inflammatory response by activating the toll receptors, part of the early warning system or immune system engaging immunologic triggers. And many things can activate filler. The natural breakdown process with these toll receptor activations, or virus, dental visit, bacteria, acne nearby. There could be trace amounts of commensal bacteria that were in the filler itself at the time of the injection that kind of were encapsulated and quiet and later get flared up and triggered as the filler is dissolving. And there can also be active infection from a recent thing like a UTI, a virus, a cold, a vaccination can trigger immune response problems. So these are things we have to consider. When we look at nodules, it's really important to think in our head if these are cold nodules or, you know, cold inflammatory delayed nodules, or are they hot nodules that are delayed nodules? So certainly we have acute nodules. We have nodules that form right away at the time of the injection, and that's most often injector technique, something too superficial, something too big of a bolus, something that needs a lot of massage, manual palpation, manipulation, sometimes dissolving immediately when we see a lump or bump that just doesn't look right, and sometimes saline to hydrate and cause things to distribute better. Or hyaluronidase, you know, you see a lump, it doesn't look right, you have to dissolve it. Those are the acute nodules. And the late nodules are often the inflammatory ones. So these are the delayed nodules. They can be cold and inflammatory, and these are nodules that often have edema around them. There can be low-grade lymphatic drainage problems. There can be chronic inflammation or late displacement of the filler. And these are so important to diagnose. Mostly these cold nodules that arise intermittently, they settle spontaneously, or sometimes they persist as a cold intermittent popping up lesion. They're most likely related to the immune system triggering flare-up with a pathogen. And a hot nodule that's delayed is most likely an infection through bloodborne spread from a urinary infection, a dental infection, a sinus infection. Anything virulent in the skin can come through the bloodstream, seed your filler, and give you problems. So that's so important to think about in your head. And also to think about the fact that a third type of filler-related nodular lump problem can be just edema and lymphatic problem related. So sometimes we'll see that in the tear trough. The filler was placed successfully. It lasted 6 to 9 months, but tissues have changed. Edema has occurred due to altered lymphatic drainage, chronic low-grade inflammation, or filler gets displaced, and the product can appear superficial in the tear trough, like giving a Tyndall effect. And the product can then need to be adjusted. So I also kind of lump that into the thinking process. When we ask experts what causes lumps and nodules, do they believe that the filler and pathogens and inflammatory factors are involved? Yes, overwhelmingly. Many people, 100% of these injectors agreed. And do we believe that late onset nodules are related to infection or variable immune response? Yes. Most definitely. Do we believe that surface bacteria are involved in some of the late nodule formation and that the quality of the initial skin barrier can cause problems? If your skin's not clean enough, if you're injecting through acne, can this cause problems? Yes. 95, 96% of them agreed that yes. Do we think the bolus size is important to determine if you're going to have a delayed tissue nodule reaction? Yes, definitely. Smaller bolus, better. Larger bolus, more of a focus of problems very often. Do we feel that sometimes the body tolerates normal skin bacteria that comes implanted into a filler more benign than a true pathogen? Definitely. The skin flora can be tolerated if it impregnates your filler and inadvertently gets in there. That's better tolerated than pathogenic bacteria on the surface of the skin. And do we believe that bacteria that's present will contribute to delayed nodule response? Definitely so. Do we also believe that a vaccination or a viremia or a booster, COVID booster, can contribute to a temporary delayed nodule? We definitely do. So there are so many factors that are involved in potential problems when you're thinking about filler and long-term nodules. The long-term nodules are definitely more difficult to dissolve. We do think patients should treat early when they have a nodule versus waiting and observing. It's best to deal with it before it becomes encapsulated, colonized, really inflammatory, and a significant trigger to the immune system. And we want people to inject small, judicious amounts of filler. There's no upper limit to how many syringes are considered safe or preventative in terms of creating problems with nodules, but we want to use our best judgment in terms of how to treat these nodules. Always, hyaluronidase is started as a first line of therapy. For inflammatory nodules, We definitely use inflammatory treatments, anti-inflammatory treatments, for example, steroids, prednisone, colchicine, NSAIDs. We melt the product with hyaluronidase. We may use intralesional steroids or 5-fluorouracil. Sometimes we use things as aggressive as energy-based devices, microneedling, shockwave therapy, CO2 laser. These can also trigger reprocessing and remodeling of the lesion. When these are infective nodules, antibiotics, number one. Definitely, if you're treating anything locally like a dental abscess, sinus infection, UTI, gotta treat the source of the infection. If you're not sure, you're going to treat with doxycycline, clarithromycin, or cephalosporin. All of those are first-line drugs. And always we're going to do an IND. Always we're going to do a culture with sensitivities for bacterial and fungal. And we are definitely going to be right on top of that lesion, often adding hyaluronidase to break up the bolus so that antibiotics can penetrate better. There are so many theories about why we get delayed nodules, and these treatment options are all so important, but very often the best thing to do when we have so many different possibilities and theories is kind of just be very watchful, be very careful, treat with super sterile technique when we are treating patients, and respect the boundaries of small boluses, using the least amount of product to accomplish the goals, and early treatment when nodules do develop. I'm a big fan of spreading good information, and this podcast is not about any one type of filler. There's nodules reported for every type of filler, including biostimulator nodules with calcium hydroxyapatite, with PLLA, with Vicross technology. There are nodules reported with regular, plain old, low molecular weight, high molecular weight, cross-linked and uncross-linked hyaluronic gel fillers. So no one in the injector community is immune to this problem, and all of us are going to have to face it at one point or another. If we're in aesthetics long enough, we may see nodules develop. I highly recommend that you take a look at this amazing article, The Consensus Statement for Delayed Nodules. It's available in the Aesthetic Surgery Journal. I felt this was such a good read, and I wanted to bring it to everybody's attention. We're heading into flu and cold season and COVID season, and it's scary Halloween. Let's not have any more lumps, bumps, and nodules. Be careful out there and stay beautiful. That's it for now, guys. You can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. Don't forget, if you're an injector, I teach an online course. It's called Modern Aesthetic Theory and Artistry, and it's on Instagram at Modern Aesthetic Theory. And I give out great tips and information every single day. We have an injector tribe. It's a free group. You can DM us if you're an injector and join the tribe and send us your questions, chat with your peers, get advice from around the world. It's so, so useful. And we have online modules everywhere from beginner to very experienced. You can learn beginner Botox, lips, liquid rhino, Sculptra, all the things we do, and how to avoid lumps and nodules. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.